This is not to say that you become haphazard and lack control of doing things, and it's not just to go out there and just do everything and think that's the right thing. But I believe there's things that God has put on us, put in us, put through us, that he's asked us to do for him, and as well as for his kingdom. And then sometimes we're just to be that for the people around us. So as we look at this, and this past week it came across a reading, and I was just looking at this, and it kept coming back a little bit as far as casting your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. In the aspects that this was written, we could probably look at it as a reference to business people. People must be willing to take risk during their life. Throwing your bread on the water, this may mean, and this, taking it back to the time it was written with Solomon and the goings-on at that time, possibly talked about sending ships that would contain grain into the sea and go into foreign countries. The ships that carried grain might not return home for months or even years. And it was always looking like, well, if you don't know if they're going to come back or you don't know where they're going, do you really want to send them? So it looked at this, and this was a great risk. King Solomon's ships took grain and other products to sell. They did not come back for 3 years, but they returned with gold and silver and other things that they had gained. 1 Kings 10:22. So as we look at this, it's like you're going to have to step out. And I think the thing that I kept referring in my spirit of casting your bread upon the waters is that you individually, we corporately, we as a church sometimes, we've got to cast out that bread knowing that it will not return void, that it's going to come back to what God wants it to be. So, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to the seven, also to the eight, for you do not know what evil will be on this earth. We have a lot of things taking place on this earth even today, right? And the writing back in Ecclesiastes says that you don't even know what evil will be on this earth. Well, anybody got a clue about it now? It's running rampant. I think what we're to do, though, it's really easy to kind of just get in your own little hole and just hunker down and not be concerned with what's going on and do what? Just take care of ourselves and don't do anything, because we got to save this. We got to hold on to this. We got to keep this for ourselves. And as a church, if we get into that realm of doing those things, I think what happens is you begin to look inward. You begin to only focus with what's in here and be concerned with only this stuff here, rather than I want to continue to look at where we can be giving outside this church. Amen? You know, this past couple of years or the past year or so of really looking at other avenues of ministries in our community that we can be a part of, not every month, not on a consistent monthly giving support because here again, of our size, but I believe that we can take a foundational look at these things and say, this group is doing a phenomenal work in our community, and let's support them for this month. This one is doing this for this month, and let's do that. And it's casting our bread, I believe, even as a church, out on the sea, and I believe that God is going to return it. Now, I don't know when, but I just know that when you sow into good things, when you sow into the things of God, that good things come back. Amen? Because it's God. It's God doing these things. And it's whether we sow into, you know, there could be an opportunity. I know early on that when Gary and Shelley, when they came back from Rhema and planted a church, that I know Believers Faith Fellowship at that time for I don't know how long, but every month they sowed a support into that church. It was like a church plant, even though it wasn't per se a church plant from Believers Faith. But they came, they were a part of the body, they went out, and Pastor Hoblet thought it'd be a good thing to sow in to that life, to sow in to that ministry. And that's good, amen. And you look where Shelley's at and Gary and the church that they've got. Gary and Shelley are just wonderful people. A small church like us, maybe a little bit bigger than us, but still small in comparison to things. But she's out doing tremendous things. So big things come from those small beginnings. So we want to, I feel, hook up into those things and be a part of that. We want to cast our bread. We want to cast these things. If you look at that back in the time that it was written, there's a lot of just begin to search these things out, and there's just man's thoughts of what it was really about, you know. But back in those seasons, there was times when the Nile would flood and the lands would be flooded. You'd have farmers there. And what they would do is they would take their seed and things and they would plant it, and they would even throw it onto the water, and it would sink and fall to the soil underneath it. But then when the waters receded, then the earth would be opened up, and then they would have a harvest. The one thing is, they knew this, that if they didn't plant, they wouldn't have a harvest, right? That's 100%. I can give you that. We know that definitively, that if you don't put seed in the ground, nothing's going to come up. But even back then, when the system flooded and the fields flooded because of the Nile at that particular time of the season was the widest and all, but they would still plant and throw seeds into there, casting their seed upon the water, let it fall to the soil, let it sink down. And once the soil rescended, or the water would recede, then the seed was there in the ground, and they would probably begin to have a harvest for that next season. Look across the field here, that this farmer across the road from us, he's already tilled his ground already. He harvested it, he turned it over, and now I think he fine-tilled it to where, you know, he's getting it ready for something else. Now, I don't know if he's just getting ready for it to lay dormant for the winter, or if he's getting ready to disc it up again, break it up a little bit more, and then he's going to plant something for maybe a spring harvest. He had a fall harvest. Maybe he's going to look for a spring harvest. But what's he going to do? He's going to cast his seed upon that land with the hope and the belief and the trust that something's going to come from it. You, as an individual, need to cast your seed. Well, what is our seed? Well, I would look at it as finances, and I'm saying this not to get wild in it and just start throwing it out there to everywhere and just to start thinking, well, I'm going to support this, I'm going to support that, because I'm just casting my seed. Let it be in a direction from God to where God places it within your heart. But I think many times when he's telling us here is to cast the bread upon the water, and you will find it after many days. Well, how many is many? A lot of times we give and we support these things, and if we don't see a return within the first 6 months, 3 months, 12 months, whatever the case is, we pull back our seed and we say, well, it's not working. How do you know it's not working? How do you know it's not working? I believe when you're going that direction and God has put that upon your spirit to do those things, it's not for us to doubt. It's not for us to question, to say, well, I guess I heard it wrong. I guess we're in error. I think we've done a mistake. It could take season or two or three. I believe even back when this church was planted and what Pastor and Deanna cast out on the waters, the seed, the bread on the water, I think it's still out there, still waiting to return. I don't know when. I don't know what's going to be the return. But I just know, guys, that God is not a God of failure. And God is not a God of just giving or getting things from you just to throw out there to go to waste. And so God is there telling us, Ecclesiastes is telling us, that we need to cast our bread. When we find Solomon is summarizing that life involves risk as well as opportunities. Life has no guarantees, does it? Well, you're going to be born, you're going to die. That's the two guarantees that I can tell you. But he is summarizing that life involves risk as well as opportunities. And I wonder how many wonderful people, because of not willing to step out in God's timing or for God's direction, they've squandered away a wonderful blessing from God. And it doesn't take a monumental thing of stepping out. I mean, Tracy was sharing even about evangelism. It could be just saying that, you know, God has told you, like, you ought to go share in this area. You should go over there. You should do this or do that, or you should say this. And we go, oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right time. I don't know. That might be that seed that you need to cast out there, knowing that it will not return void. Anything that we do for God will not come back empty. What we do for God will come back fulfilled, accomplishing what God wants it to fulfill. But he's going to use you and me and us to do these things. We are, so many times we talk about, well, let me be the hands and the feet of you, Lord. Let me be the voice of you, Lord. Well, if you stay held up in your home and don't go out and use your voice and use your hands and use your feet, what good are you? Well, I'm a good Christian. I say I want to be the hands and the feet and the voice of God. But I just don't know if this is the right time. I just don't know if the timing's right. I just don't know if it's going to work well. I just don't think this is it. I don't know if I need to wait. Anybody been there? Have you had that? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Maybe we could list that as the ministry of I don't know. We'd have a lot of people there. Probably have the biggest group of meetings in the church. For those that don't know, or I just don't know, we're going to meet tonight. You know? Well, then probably some of them will say, well, I just don't know if it should be tonight or not. But we've got to be willing to step out in the things of God. I think this passage, even the scripture, cast your bread upon the waters. What has God asked you to do? Cast it out there. Yes, you might need to take a risk. You might need to take some opportunities that open up, and maybe those opportunities only come. Isn't there a saying out there, sometimes opportunity only knocks once? Opportunity only comes along once in life, and you got to jump on it. You got to know it's the right one to get on to do. Where was I at now? Well, no, I'm thinking of something in my life here. I was just trying to think about where I was at. But it's the thing, and I'm trying to think of the scenario where we were at and what was happening. But it was like, oh, okay, I know where I was at now, but it's okay. Usually, the person on the ball team that has the highest home run average is the one that strikes out the most. Seems counterproductive, doesn't it? But what does that tell you? It's a person that goes up to that plate, and every time that person goes up to that plate, he says, I'm going to get a home run. I'm going to swing. I'm going to swing at anything that comes at me because I'm going to get a home run. I'm going to hit something, and when I hit it, I'm going to hit it hard, and it's going to be a home run. Strike one. I'm going to swing. I'm going to hit it. It's going to be a home run. Strike two. Strike three. He goes back to the dugout. Well, the next time I'm up, I'm going to hit a home run. I just know it. They have that tenacity to know that they're going to do it. And if they have it long enough and they build their skills and they build their ability to do it and their eye and hand and all that coordination, they will succeed and they will have numbers that say home run hitter, you know, highest averages of home runs. And what's that say? You've got to go up and you've got to go swinging. You got to swing if you're going to get a home run. Nobody goes up to the home plate and stands there and just thinks and makes a home run appear. They're putting action. They're putting effort into that desire. We sit in our churches. I've got a desire to do this for God. I'm going to serve Him and I'm going to open up this. And I've had many times, even some years back, when the church had several other people in here and different ones felt upon them that they had a desire. They thought God wanted them to go and put, you know, like coffee houses downtown and minister to the poor, or maybe those that are downtown people that are in the inner city areas, I guess. But I do not believe, I haven't seen that coffee house open up yet. Now, that's a good thought. And maybe we should have launched out on that. And I'm saying they, because they felt things of God saying to do that. We had a guy one time that said, you know, he came for a very short time. And he says, you know what? We need to go out and stand on the Interstate 90 by the Welcome to Wisconsin and hold up and do something about stopping drug traffic coming through our state. I said, well, brother, if the Lord is telling you to go do that, you need to go do that. You need to go stand at that sign or pray or whatever you need to do, but go do it. But I don't recall him ever going to do it. You know, I didn't sense that as a group that, okay, this is what our church was going to do. And it's one of these things that you've got to be willing to step out, but and risk takers, but yet you've got to use wisdom in it as well. I'm not saying just to go out there and just, you know, cast your bread, cast your money upon the water. I don't want you to go out there and just give your money to every person out there that needs money, because I'm going to tell you, you will find out there's more people out there that need money than you've got money. And pretty soon you'll be in the line with them needing money. It's like, I gave it all away. Now I'm out here with you guys. You've got to use wisdom. But you've got to use godly wisdom. You've got to use godly intuitiveness to where the Spirit. Are we all filled with the Holy Spirit? I hope so, because if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to probably 9 times out of 10, we'll give that one, every once in a while your flesh gets in there and kind of does some things with it, but probably 9 times, 8 times, whatever, 10 times out of 10, you will do the right decision because you're being led by the Father. But He's leading you, He's speaking to you, but He's not moving your feet. You've got to get the unction to get up and to go. You've got to have the unction to be willing to do this or do that or give here or support that. We shared some things in Sunday school, a little bit about scriptures in the New Testament and things. But one of them was being a servant. You need to go out and serve like Christ came and served. He came not to be served, but to serve. We've got to be that same mentality. If we're going to be Christ-like, we've got to be Christ-like. We've got to serve others. We've got to cast that bread upon the sea. And I don't know when it's going to come back, but I've got some bread out there. How many have bread or seed out on the sea, and you're just waiting for the return whenever the Lord says it's time? I hope you've got that out there, because the Lord will fulfill that. So since life has no guarantee, we should always be prepared. You should be prepared when the Lord speaks to you to do something. To do it. Don't think that you have to pray about it 12 times. You might say, well, let me pray about it and let me get a peace or let me get a satisfaction in my spirit and hooks up with that. Fine. And I know that that will happen. Generally, I have seen or felt at times that when somebody has come along with something and it entails something with me or whatever, or even the church, that it's probably something that the Lord has already impressed upon me, or as a church possibly, and this person's coming along as just a confirmation, you know, to say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing, would you like to be a part of it? And it's like, wow, yeah, that kind of connects with what the Lord was speaking to me a month or so ago, you know, so let's be a part of this or be a part of that. So there will be that checks and balance, and the Lord will lead us and direct us. I don't believe the Lord is going to take us and have us waste things. Amen? We do not waste our talents and things and the things that we do when we're serving the Lord. It is going for a reason. It is going for a purpose. Now, if you're serving man, and man gets what they want out of you, and they found out that they've got all they can get out of you, chances are man will leave you where you're at and leave you and just dump you. I got everything I can from that person. Okay, set them by the roadside and go on to somebody else. God is not like that. We've got to be understanding that God is with us, there to help us, to encourage us. God is looking to see, like, who can I trust? Who's going to be obedient to my word? Who's going to cast their bread upon the sea? Who's going to be willing to do this and not expect a return, like, by 5 o'clock today? So life has no guarantees. We've known that already, right? Nothing out there is guaranteed. Solomon does not support a stingy, despairing attitude. Because life is uncertain does not mean that we should do nothing. We have got so many people sitting in our churches doing nothing because they just don't know if it's the right thing to do. And if it's not the right thing to do, I don't want to do it. But if I don't know if it's the right thing to do, how am I going to know it's the right thing to do unless I do it to find out if it's going to be fulfilled with what God wants? And we can get on that track and begin to do something, and guess what? If it's not God-ordained, if it's not God-breathed, chances are you will find that out, and you will be pulled back, and you will come back to square one. I did that with God with my decision and choices that I made of Walmart and leaving. After so many weeks into it, I had to get back with Him, and I had to say, Lord, if I am in error, correct me, and set me back where I need to go. Here I am, Lord. I could have been like craziness in my head, what I just did. But if it is of you, Lord, you know, it'll continue to flow. It'll continue to go. Will it always be easy? Will it always be opened up to where you see everything exactly how it's going to happen? No, but when I gave the Lord the opportunity to say, Lord, if it's an error, and even up to today, if as a church and the things that we're doing, if they're in error and they're not following what you want, Lord, correct us. set our feet back on the path. Get us back to where we need to be, Lord, so that we're where you want us to be and not where we think we need to be or where we even want to be. Because we can get our man's emotions and desires so mixed into it that we somehow make it what, well, this is really what, this is really my plan. Let me tell you what it is. But God will buy into it. I think I say that now just because I changed the sign yesterday out there. I don't know how many saw the sign when you pulled in. It's finally been changed after 5 months. But I believe God is speaking, slow down and listen. What did I say out there? I could look at my phone. Did anybody read the sign as you came in? Now I'm a lost. Let's see, cranberry juice cocktail. No, that's not it. When I go shopping, I take pictures of things I'm supposed to get. It helps you sometimes. And sometimes it don't help. I don't know. Huh? That's it. Oh, meet God on his terms, not your terms. Meet God on his terms, not your terms. And that's what it's about. You know, that's coming into him, totally surrendering to him. I'm coming to you on your terms, God. Because I'm going to tell you, my terms and God's terms are totally different. What I want to do, how I want to do it, how I want to institute it, how I want to carry it through, chances are it's not going to be godly or as much connected to God. It's going to be what I like to do, what's best for me, how I like it, this I don't like. But I'm going to tell you, it's one of these things, you've got to surrender that to where, you know, to meet God, go to it by his terms, not your terms. And we always want to do these things with God, under our desires of how we want to do it. And it's really with God, it's non-negotiable. Because I think God's going to say, now, wait a minute. There's no discussion on this. You know, have you ever had a boss or something? You go in and talk about something and, hey, I want to tell you my idea and this is what I really want to do. And they go, it's non-negotiable. This is what you got to do. It's like, okay, who's paying your paycheck? That person. Well, that's what they want, so you're going to do what they want. Okay. When your name is on the front of the company sign, then you can do what you want. Okay, you know, but you learn that in the corporate world, and we read that in the Word to where I'm bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. I am not my own. I am his. I've been bought. So really it gets to that point too of saying that I'm not in control of myself as far as what I'm to be doing and where I'm going, because truly I want to be an arm of God. I want to be a servant of God. And where he's saying, where he leads, I will follow. You know? But to do that, you've got to step out sometimes. You've got to be willing to take a risk. You've got to be willing to sit there and say, well, Lord, if this is you, you're not going to fail me, John, or Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, 14. The plans you have, plans to of favor and prospering, not to destroy you. God does not want to destroy you. He doesn't want to destroy your family. He doesn't want to destroy your life. He doesn't want to destroy your dreams. He don't want to destroy these things. But make sure your dreams are his dreams. Make sure you've cleaned out your desires of things and put on the mind of Christ. And we get become that mind of Christ, then we begin to think the things of God. And when we start thinking the things of God, we begin to do the things of God. And when we do the things of God, we're fulfilling what he's wanting done as a mandate for us individually or corporately, the church, and he's going to be right there with us accomplishing those things. And we're going to grow and develop. That's exciting. Hallelujah. So it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do nothing. I've done that at times myself. In the natural of things of doing this or make a decision, it's like you get into a level of you've got to make a decision, left or right, left or right. You're going down the road, left or right. Which way should I go? Which way should I go? Right. You get about 100 feet down, you go, I should have gone left. Oh, well, look for the first off-ramp and get back on and go over there. It's not a dangerous thing. It's okay. We can fix it, you know. And thank God for, you know, GPS, but, you know, that can go wrong too. But, you know, if you got like a wife or something next to you and they're watching theirs, hopefully they're keeping it. Boy, we go down through Chicago. I'm thankful Dean, she's got her little map on her little phone and she's looking ahead, you know. And I've been even these roads that you travel all the time, it just, well, I say all the time, you go through there like three times a year or twice a year, maybe. But you think you'd remember, but, you know, everything's changed. You know, I'm sure, Julie, going up and down the Interstate 90, it's changed tremendously. Yeah, Wayne, same way when you come down, you know, it's just like crazy. It's been so long since we took a ride. Yesterday we did some things, and I went out on the interstate. This is a big thing, man. Hey, honey, how long? Let me show you the change of the interstate. this is like, it's almost like living in a little old country town somewhere. It's like, let's go out and see the highway, honey. Look at these lanes. My gosh, it looks so big. But things change. But anyway, she's there, and she's saying, now, okay, next exit, get in the left lane, get in the right lane. That's crazy. Because going down through there, my common sense says, well, if I'm going to exit and go, exit, I always learned, always seemed to be to the right, always to the right. Well, not down in Chicago and major cities, because sometimes you exit to go that way, this way. Because then you go this way, and then you loop around this way. And my whole mind's like between and betwixt. It's like, this doesn't make sense. I don't want to go left, I want to go right. And there's many times I've second-guessed myself going through those toll booths because of the way they're all lined up. My blood pressure is like up here, I'm sure. But I still look around at planes when they're flying over. I still look up at them. Watch, stay in the lane. Don't look around. Look at that big plane, honey. They're slowing down. They're braking. Okay. You know, I...
Sounds like Jewel.
I've had sensor controls, safety controls in my car for 10 years already. You know, it's nothing new to BMWs and Lincolns and all these big cars now, or Toyotas. I've had sensory in my car ever since Dean sits there now. It's like, you know, I don't have to look up there to see. I could be looking, drinking a couple of coffees. They're starting to break ahead. Okay. And then every once in a while she says, keep your eyes on the road. That's it. Co-pilots, you're the pilots, man. It's just like autopilot. I tell her, you tell me when I got to turn, I'm going to be looking around at all this stuff. This is looks cool. And she's got sensors. We got sensors along the side of the car when somebody's getting too close because she'll go, look out! It depends on what if I zero her in on, you know, look like 500 feet down the road or like 50 feet down the road. Because it's like, yeah, honey, I see that, but it's way down there. But I know, I'll be there before you know it. Yeah, we all have stories about that. So because life is uncertain doesn't mean that we don't do anything. That's what the devil would want you to do. The devil would like for you just to be so wondering if this is going to work. Is it the right thing? Is it the proper time that you'll sit there, and I have talked myself out of a lot of things. And this is in the natural, and this is kind of crazy, but you have to kind of guard it that way. But I remember, like even in retail and stuff like that, you know, we would see things, and they were down and clearing out something. It was really a good thing, you know. And I would think about it and think about it, and I think, well, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? And it was something that we could use, and I don't know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I'll go back this afternoon if it's there, and tomorrow, whatever, I'll buy it. Well, I'd go back and it's gone. It's like, ah! Now, I could sit there and say, well, God, I guess I wasn't supposed to have it. And that could be right. But there's other things that kind of began to get into me that said, you know, when you see those things, and it's something that's usable and you need or you're looking for, you need to react to it. And don't think about it to the point of second-guessing or talking yourself out of it. Many times we talk ourselves so much out of doing the right things for God because we're scared we're going to do the wrong things for God. And if we think that, God will give you a do-over. And I tell you, even when you mess up with God, He will be there to correct you. He will be there. Well done. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, you had a few problems along the way, Tim. You know, I had to get you out of this, get you over this, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, but you at least tried. You at least, every time you went up to the plate, you were thinking home run and not an out. Yeah, you got an out, but yet there was those times you got a home run too. And that's what I wanted. And so we got to look at that in our life because I'm going to tell you, as you look around, just, you know, look at the person next to you. Look how much older they've gotten just from 8:30 this morning, or 9:30, or 10:30 when you got here. I mean, I'm looking at you people aging as I'm talking to you.
Thank you.
Well, that'll bring everybody back next week. Well, now, and the same thing as in me. I've turned, there's probably some more white hair, you know, and it's like, I'm getting, my brain cells are kind of doing things now. I don't know. But life is moving. Life is going. And I don't want to be at the end of my life and sit there and say, you know what? I think I missed it 20 years ago with God because I was just concerned that it was the wrong time. Or I just didn't feel it was the right time. And we don't know what we miss in the scope of things with God. God is so loving and so gentle and so caring that I think if we launch out in these areas with a good attitude within our heart to say, I'm believing, Lord, I'm hearing from you to do this, and I'm not trying to, you know, build myself up. I'm not trying to, you know, have a ton of money for retirement, or, you know, I'm not giving into the kingdom so that when I retire, I'm going to have X number. Because I'm going to tell you, the world's ways of finances are so messed up, you don't know what's out there. They can't even agree on anything other than take more money from you. That's all it is. It'll never be to the point, I think, that you're going to have a lot of money coming back to you, because it's always going to be somebody out there in the government or agencies or something saying, well, we can't give them that much money because we need it for us, you know. So off to work, hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work I go. But it's not to do those things. But I'm going to tell you, I think we can have a wonderful life if we're serving God and right where we're at with God. And God will have that raven bring you that food if that's what you need. I don't know, you know. But be in service to him and give him your best. You know, when God says to him, serve me now. And I said, no, let me serve you at this time in my life. He says, no, you want to give me your leftovers. No, God, I don't want to give you my leftovers. See, those are the conversations I had with God, just me and him in a vehicle all by ourselves. God was just driving with me, and he was the one saying, slow down. There's a deer up there. Slow down, Tim. I'll pay attention. When God was my co-pilot, when God was the pilot, when he was going for a ride with me and I was talking to him, and he says those things. I want to tell you, whenever God begins to just speak to you in your spirit, you want to give me your leftovers. You want to do this. I'm going to do this for you. I want you to do this for me. Oh, you want to wait and do that? See, I was trying, like that sign out there, trying to have God meet me on my terms when he says, come and serve me. And I said, let me have another 5 years, 8 years with Walmart, and then I'll be ready. Or let me get to this year of level of Walmart, and then I'll leave them and come and serve you, Lord. I'll do it. You want to give me your leftovers? I even shared at times in the past when I began to get raises even more in Walmart and raising up and the things in the career. I was getting very sensitive to the amount of money that I was beginning to make, because it's like, Lord, this could be a hook to hold me into that track of corporate stuff. Because how am I going to make that much money per se just stepping away and working in the kingdom? But God is unending source of blessings and income. It's not that God couldn't do it, but I was looking at it in my ways of looking at things. I was trying to make it understanding in my terms and saying, God, meet me on my terms, and this is what I see that I need. I don't want to come to your terms. But I finally had to, in my times with him and just meditating and listening to him and reading the word, I had to get to that point to say, but God, I trust you. God, I want to honor you. God, you're more than anything I need. You're more important than Walmart. You're more important than my retirement. You're more important than this. You're more important than all of this stuff, Lord, because there will be a way. You will make it. You will have it. You will work it out. I don't know exactly how. But I just know that I know that I know, Lord, that if I come to you with a clear motive in my spirit, that you're going to be there for me or for us as a family. And he has not let us down. Not let us down. But I had to, thank God, quickly realize it's got to be on his terms. Because once I start making my terms in there, man's terms change. Wait until I've been with Walmart for 25 years. I was already at 17 years with them. Let me go to 25 years, then I'll come. I could have gotten to 25 years and said, give me another five. Let me get to 30. You know, man changes these increments of things because where we're at the time. And we decide to, it's not going to hurt you, Lord. What's another 5 years for you? What's another 3 years to wait for me? Yeah, life goes on. God will accomplish what he's going to accomplish. Even if I didn't take that change and do what he wanted me to do, you know, heaven wasn't going to stop operating. The kingdom of God wasn't going to stop moving forward. It was going to advance. It was going to accomplish everything that God has it already set to accomplish from the beginning to the end. The Alpha and Omega, whenever that time frame happens. So I'm not making it a big thing like little old Tim made such a big change. And if I hadn't, boy, God would just be, you know, no. But it was something with me and God. And it's something that I wanted to go with God and say, God, you are awesome. It is worth. And there's really, I don't even say, there's more risk in the world than there is with God. Because with God, there is no risk. He says he loves me. He says he'll provide for me. He said he'll produce this. He'll take care of this. He'll open this. He'll do this. He'll do all these things. All you just need to do is be willing to cast that bread on that water. Cast your life out there. Cast your resources. Cast whatever it is that he's asking. And it says that you will find it after many days. We need a spirit of trust and adventure facing life's risk and opportunities as God directs us. Remember, that's important. As God directs us, we need a spirit of trust and adventure. I'm going to tell you, when God asks you to do something, I'm sure Nate, right now, over in Romania, he is probably having the time of his life, being more fulfilled in his life and ministry to God than maybe even as a pastor up in Minnesota, because it's something that he's given, that God has put in him, and he's out there, you know. I could just imagine out there in a foreign country. I don't know if I'll ever be there. I don't know if that's wherever I will ever go into that type of a level of things with God, you know. Like I've told somebody, if God says it, I'd certainly want to be there and do it, but I just don't want to do it under my thinking like, I'm going to be a missionary, you know, because it's a sacrifice. It's a lot of things that just got to be taken into account. But I'm sure it's an adventure for Nate. It's an adventure for Shelley. I tell you, stepping into ministry is an adventure. Anything you do for God is an adventure. Get into a men's group, oversee a ladies' group, oversee an outreach, oversee this, oversee that. It's an adventure. And I think the thing that maybe brought me into this, and it took me let me read this. Let me finish this up, and then I'll go there, and then we'll end. Waiting for the perfect conditions will mean inactivity. Waiting for the perfect conditions will mean inactivity in your life, in your walk with God. If we wait for the perfect time, the perfect place, the perfect thing, everything lined up to serve God, you're going to be waiting a long time because it won't be perfect getting there. Because the enemy's going to put all kinds of problems in front of you. He's going to put roadblocks. He's going to put speed bumps. He's going to put anything he can to hold you back. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find a church. If you're looking for a perfect condition on anything, it's not going to happen. You've got to respond, react, and believe and trust God. I think what drove me into this a little bit, and it was at the pastor's last Wednesday as we were praying, and some things were brought up for prayer. And all of a sudden, the scripture here came to me about casting your bread. And this church in town was saying some things that they wanted to do and stretch out a little bit from what they had been doing in the past. And the pastor said, you know, he met with his board. He kind of shared what his thoughts were. And he says, it's going to be a stretch. But he says, it's putting our faith out there of what God, I believe, wants us to do. I thought, wow. That's pretty interesting, pretty cool, you know. It's a large church here in town, but it's still putting that faith out there because they're going to stretch a little bit further than what they have been doing. And I think when he was sharing that and we went into prayer and praying about it and praying for different things at the table, this hit me and I kind of read it there even during the prayer time of casting. It's like, cast your bread upon the water, man. That's what God is kind of in putting within you. Cast it out there. And it won't return void. You know, if it's a God thing, it'll be fulfilled and it'll come back. And it'll be a home run. One of many. So that's our God. And that's my God. I hope it's your God. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I didn't even get down into the 3, 4, and 5, and 6. You can read that sometime on your own. It's talking about if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, it shall be. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. There again, it's looking at the natural things, and it's like, boy, I don't know if this is the right time. I don't know if it's the time. I don't know if it's the place. And if that's the case, you will be right where you're at with God next year at this time, and the year after that, and the year after that, until something happens, or until you're called home, and then you'll find out that, you know, some great mighty things were planned for you, and you just didn't live up to them. It's not that God's mad at you, but it's just like, look what you missed in the blessings of God. So be actively willing to launch out into the things that God's asked us to do. Cast your bread upon the waters. And I think, are you ready to? You want to start? I'm going to go to the piano. Thank you, Father.